Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
Hello and a very warm welcome to this edition of Africa Link. My name is Jane Nyinge.
And I am Abubakar Jallo.
Coming up on today's program, the death toll following Sierra Leone disaster goes beyond 1,000, but the government is giving a different figure.
Well, we cannot confirm that as a government because until excavations are completed, but those that have been buried is at 496 people. We only are able to quantify the number of deaths after the pathologists in the country will have confirmed that.
And in Uganda, female condoms continue to be ignored. Why?
I used it once. Well, out of curiosity, I didn't enjoy the sex. Because the thing was rough and noisy. It was generally unpleasant.
For these stories plus much more and also your responses coming up shortly. But first, let's hear what has been happening around the globe.
I'm Shay Meineke with DW News. German police on Monday have raided the homes and businesses of suspects, including a police officer who allegedly planned attacks against the state and against left-wing politicians. The federal prosecutor's office said in a statement that the suspects hoarded food and weapons, fearing Germany's refugee policies would eventually impoverish the country. The raids come after Chancellor Angela Merkel defended her open migration policy this weekend, saying that she had no regrets with Germany taking in some 1 million migrants in 2015. European and African leaders have begun holding talks in Paris on illegal migration, with French President Emmanuel Macron seeking action on asylum rights and people traffickers. The meeting is attended by leaders of Germany, Italy, and Spain, as well as leaders from Chad, Niger, and Libya. Nearly 120,000 migrants have reached Europe so far this year, with more than 2,400 having drowned trying to cross the Mediterranean Sea in flimsy boats and in drastic conditions. Meanwhile, Germany has reached a deal with Egypt to limit the flow of migrants from the North African country, with programs aimed at stabilizing the country's faltering economy and weakening infrastructure. Speaking in Berlin, German government spokesman Stefan Seibert says the new agreement would help both countries fight illegal immigration and people smugglers from bringing migrants into Europe.
It's about cross-economic cooperation as well as support in for Egypt's education sector, effectively fighting migration causes. It's about support for Egyptian communities hosting refugees.
This news comes to you from DW, Germany's international broadcaster. Kenya's Supreme Court has begun hearing opposition claims of rigged presidential elections after opposition leader Raila Odinga said computer fraud helped President Uhuru Kenyatta win re-election with 54% of the vote. Odinga was in a packed courtroom on Monday as his legal team made their case against the Electoral Commission. A senior opposition lawyer said even a small electoral offense should be investigated further.
If there is a transgression that amounts to a violation of any particular section of the law in regard to the election, it cannot be considered to be just minor transgression.
Kenya's Supreme Court has until September 1st to make a ruling. Also in Kenya, the East African country has banned plastic bags. According to the ban, Kenyans producing, selling, or using plastic bags could risk imprisonment of up to 4 years or hefty fines of nearly $40,000, making it the world's toughest law aimed at reducing plastic pollution. The UN says plastic bags are the number one environmental challenge for urban waste disposal in Kenya. And now in other news, German police have revealed that former nurse Niels H. could be responsible for killing at least 80 patients. The former nurse, who is already serving two separate prison sentences for killing some 30 people, was found to have injected patients with medication to induce an overdose. If found guilty of the latest charges, the nurse could be one of Germany's most prolific post-war serial killers. For more news and information, visit our website at dw.com. I'm Shay Meineke.
You are listening to DW's Africa Link, coming to you live from our studios in Bonn, Germany. I am Abubakar Jallo.
And my name is Jen Nyinge. We begin today's program in the West African country of Sierra Leone, where reports indicate the death toll from the mudslides has now reached more than 1,000. Rescue and aid groups had earlier warned more than 600 people are still missing, and there was no chance of finding them alive. But the government is refuting that figure, insisting that the death toll stands at 496 people. Earlier, I spoke to the president, Ernest Bai Koroma spokesperson, Abdoulaye Berate, and he started by explaining why the government doesn't agree with that figure of more than 1,000 dead.
Well, we cannot confirm that as a government because until excavations are completed, but those that have been buried is at 496 people. We only are able to quantify the number of deaths based on the figures the experts are giving us, and after the pathologists in the country will have confirmed that.
And how is the government coping with the current situation? Because earlier, there were some horrific reports of people digging through the mud with their hands, searching for their loved ones.
Well, that was at the initial point when this disaster struck, whereby you see young people wanting to volunteer to complement the efforts of the military. But I must say, though, that is no longer the issue. Right now, we are concentrating on the recovery process with specialized machines.
Well, we are aware that the government was asking for international help. Would you say it has been forthcoming?
So far, I can say yes. Ghana alone deployed for us generators. They brought in over 2,000 bags of rice. They brought in medical supplies like in Nigeria as well. And many other countries are coming to our aid. And don't forget, Sierra Leone, our difficulty, we had a very devastated civil war and we ended up with Ebola. We are just on the verge of this recovery process when this mudslide also struck.
It's still raining in Sierra Leone. What measures have been taken by the government to avert more deaths?
Well, the president has activated a level 3 security, which means he's in direct of the disaster response and emergency situation. And this is where all the actors, the military, the ambulance service, the police, the Sierra Leone Red Cross, and our development partners, we have all put modalities in place. But suffice it though to say that some of the challenges we are having is when there is any little rain, you see people living along the hilltops, they will drop their garbage into the place. And just this morning, I cited the example of Kenya, whereby plastic bags have just been banned with a fine of $19,000 for any application. So this is where, as a country, we are also moving. We have a project called Operation Clean Freetown, so that all of these will be incorporated in that project. Because don't forget, the UN Intergovernmental Panel has just indicated that Sierra Leone, Guinea-Bissau, and Bangladesh, we are very prone to natural disasters like cancer and flooding.
That was Abdoulaye Berate, the president's spokesperson, breaking down for us the current situation in Sierra Leone after a disaster that left a trail of destruction. I'm sure, Abu, there are lots of reactions on social media.
Indeed, Jane, there are so many reactions, and most of them comparing Hurricane Harvey and how the media responded to that to Sierra Leone. Vongai Mbofana says, sometimes I question the burden living on our continent, from slavery to war, disease, poverty, famine, corruption, illiteracy, etc. And St. Lesse says, media reports of hurricane in Texas are on complete repeat, and death toll of 1,000 people in Sierra Leone was just mentioned in passing. Zolan Magagula says, it gets to show the media works for those who control the means of production. Texas storms make worthy news as opposed to that in Africa.
And there is this one from Siboniso Matsebula, says, I just wish there was something practical I could do instead of bemoaning how unfair the world is to people like me.
Yes, that's it. Those are some of the responses there. Now let's take you to the international story. Niels Hogel, the German nurse who was initially jailed for life in 2015 after admitting to killing some 30 people at two clinics, may have killed a further 84 people. If found guilty of the latest charge, he will be one of the biggest serial killers in Germany's criminal history. Marcy Odhiambo reports.
Investigators say the dimensions of this crime have left them speechless. Niels Hage, the only identity released of the man, is already serving a life sentence for 2 murders and 2 attempted murders. Now forensic experts have found evidence that suggests he may have killed a further 84 people. Johann Kilmer is a German police chief in Oldenburg.
As if all that were not enough, we must realize that the real dimension of the killings by Niels is likely much worse. The evidence around of numerous cremations, which make establishing proof impossible, points to that.
In the past hearings, Niels Hage admitted to injecting patients with deadly doses of medicine in order to then revive them, allowing him to play the hero. The frequent resuscitations attracted attention, and investigators say many of the murders could have been prevented if hospital authorities had acted sooner. Victims' relatives say they are shocked. Christian Marbach is a family member.
The special commission clearly showed people made grave mistakes in Oldenburg. They knew that Niels H. was murdering people, but it was swept under the rug, so to speak. For that to emerge so clearly was really astounding.
Prosecutors now want to press new charges at the end of the year.
Masi Odhiambo compiled that report.
Let's take you back to Africa, and we are in Kenya, where the Supreme Court has ordered the Electoral Commission to allow the opposition access to its computer servers and electronic devices used in the vote count. This is after the opposition leader Raila Odinga complained of massive fraud and irregularities during presidential election held on the 8th of this month, which he lost to President Uhuru Kenyatta. From Nairobi, James Shimanyula with the details.
The hearing of the petition seeking to nullify re-election of President Uhuru Kenyatta is underway at the Supreme Court in the capital, Nairobi. Proceedings of the petition are to end on Friday, paving the way for 7 judges of the court to deliver their verdict on Saturday. The hearing of the petition was preceded by the ruling of the court, which allowed 25 lawyers to access the Electoral Commission's servers. Reading the ruling, one of the 7 judges of the court made crucial orders relating to access to the Electoral Commission's servers.
The petitioners, as well as the third respondents, shall be granted a read-only access, which includes copying, if necessary, information relating to the number of servers in the exclusive possession of the first respondent.
The first respondent that Judge Lenaola is referring to is Kenya's Electoral Commission, that is party to the petition. The judge pointed out that there is need for scrutiny of the forms that were used by the Electoral Commission to transmit official results from more than 40,000 polling stations. Form 34B is one of the forms that is officially signed by the Electoral Commission's official at a polling station. The Supreme Court also ruled that access to the Electoral Commission's ICT system shall be supervised by appointed court officials as well as representatives of parties to the petition. In order to ensure that access to the Electoral Commission's servers is completed perfectly, the Supreme Court judges ruled that 3 ICT officials approved by the court shall supervise access to the Electoral Commission's ICT system.
James Shimanyula reporting from Nairobi.
And some quick responses. Mende Michael says NASA has a strong case, but the judges are just looking at the lawyers like they are wasting their time since they have decided. DJ Snow says, I propose in future that jail term should be prescribed to any PO or RO found engaging election malpractices, talking there about the election observers.
And Dr. Masibo Lumala says, I see clear impartiality and independence from the Supreme Court this time round.
Keep your responses coming. We'll read them when we can. And if you are just joining us, you are listening to DW's Africa Link with me, Abubakar Jallo.
And I'm Jane Nyinge.
Now, African leaders are meeting in Zimbabwe to find solutions to how people could have better access to healthcare. Experts say the political will is there, but leaders must do more.
Yes, political will, our leaders talk about, we support the health system, but they're not turning it into the political will of financing. Abuja said 15%. Now we should be aiming at 15% and beyond.
And in Kenya's ban on plastic bags comes into effect today. We are waiting for your responses. Please talk to us on our Facebook page, DW Africa, or leave us a voice note on our WhatsApp. Don't forget to leave your name and location because we would love to know whom we are speaking to.
That's right. But first, health inequalities are fast growing in most African countries owing to the widening gap between social classes. African health leaders meeting in Zimbabwe say only political will can help bridge this gap. DW correspondent Privilege Mushanuri reports from Zimbabwe's premier resort town of Victoria Falls, where the African ministers are meeting to come up with a strategy to tackle some of the difficulties affecting the continent.
The 67th session of the World Health Regional Committee for Africa kicked off Monday in Zimbabwe's premier resort town of Victoria Falls. The week-long annual meeting is expected to discuss, among other issues, the growing health inequalities and financing issues affecting the continent. The poor are finding it difficult to access decent health care in comparison to their ably resourced counterparts. Political will and lack of commitment are the biggest challenges affecting the development of African health systems. The World Health Organization meeting, host Zimbabwe Minister David Parinyatwa explains.
Yes, political will, our leaders talk about, we support the health system, but they're not turning it into the political will of financing. Abuja said 15%. Now we should be aiming at 15% and beyond. And to me, that is the ultimate commitment or political commitment that we should demonstrate as African countries.
In April 2001, African states adopted the Abuja Declaration, which compelled them to allocate 15% of their annual national budget to improve the health sector, but this has not happened in most countries. The result has seen the continent struggling to fight challenges of disease outbreaks such as Ebola because of weak funding outside external donors. In countries like Zimbabwe, taxes such as a 3% AIDS levy, that is taxed from every worker, has gone a distance in financing antiretroviral drugs, but the funds are sadly sometimes abused. Zimbabwe President Mugabe acknowledged the need for the governments to step up in increasing funding for the health sector.
Financing for health remains a challenge. We need to further innovate around how we finance health and how we can effectively and sustainably invest such financing.
Ironically, African leaders have in recent years been accused of seeking medical care abroad at the neglect of their local health institutions. Incoming and first African WHO Director General Dr. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus says urgent priorities should be put on boosting response to emergent situations such as the recent disaster in Sierra Leone.
All roads lead to universal health coverage. Health systems are the glue that binds together. Access to health care is a human right. Universal health coverage is a political choice I urge countries to make.
Universal health coverage has been set as a possible umbrella goal for health in the United Nations post-2015 development agenda, though its measurements are subject to heated debate.
Privilege Mushanuri reporting from Victoria Falls in Zimbabwe.
And we have a comment from Isaac Godwin from Liberia. He says, I wonder why Zimbabwe is allowed to host such a gathering when the government has obviously failed to prove total democracy and transparency in leadership.
Health check.
Despite the introduction of female condoms into the Ugandan market more than a decade ago, they have not been embraced, especially by men. The Uganda Health Marketing Group, the official distributor of contraceptives, says the current figures are worrying because since 2015, it's only 1.2 million pieces of female condoms that have been used.
Now, the low usage compared to male condoms has been attributed to their unpleasant appearance, which many describe as bulky, less lubricated, and noisy. Frank Higa hit the streets of Uganda to get to know why female condoms continue to be ignored.
My question whether some people are familiar with the female condoms leads me to the congested Mokono Town taxi park to interact with Stella Dodge, a newspaper vendor whom I found on duty.
It was Women's Day. That's when I saw a female condom for the first time, and I held it for the first time with a colleague. So when I came back with it, I was like, okay, this is interesting. You know, it was very funny. They demonstrated. Wow. I carried it to home. Guess what my husband said? What is the thing doing in your bag? So, do you use it? Have you ever used it? All sorts of questions. And then he was like, okay, so this is what you women do when you go out there. So from that time on, I dropped it in the toilet and I've never held it again. So why are you asking me?
Arriving to Buama Town took me a while with interest to know more about people's perception regarding the female condom. Aimi Tokelo Paul, who is a tailor, and freely told me his experience.
I used it once. Well, out of curiosity, I didn't enjoy the sex because the thing was rough and noisy. It was generally unpleasant.
Standing alone close to midnight, 28-year-old Pamela Tim is a sex worker stationed in a suburb in Lugazi. Out of the 20 prostitutes I asked about the contraceptive, she is the only one with both the male and female condoms. She is proudly showing me how it looks like and its usefulness.
I have no problem with it. This is how it looks like. I won't open it. These are very, very, very hard to find. I have heard very many funny stories about them, but what matters is to protect myself.
In the warehouse of Uganda Health Marketing Group, the distributor of contraceptives in Uganda, I meet Robert Sebuchu, packing consignments for dispatch. He tells me that they have introduced a new brand of female condoms to replace the old.
We want to source for condoms which are well lubricated to the satisfaction of the users. We are also carrying on campaigns to address, because we realize some of the noise that people are complaining about is because they wrongly insert the condoms. So we are carrying on campaigns. We want to go and sensitize people on how to properly insert the condoms so that they mitigate the noise complaints.
Frank Yeager reporting from Uganda. Abu, you know, I don't understand why men hate female condoms.
I don't know if I should give an opinion there. Leave it. And for your sports roundup of all the weekend action, here's Samson Omale.
We begin the sports news with match day two highlights in the Bundesliga this past weekend. Borussia Dortmund moved to the top of the Bundesliga with a comfortable 2-0 win over Hertha Berlin, with Nuri Sahin and Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang on the score sheet once again. Dortmund midfielder Nuri Sahin says it was about time he scored after breaking a 2-year goal drought with his strike against Hertha on Saturday.
Yeah, it was a long time that I scored in the Bundesliga. It was time. I texted before the match with my brother and he wrote me that he has a good feeling today, and yeah, thanks God, I hit the ball good.
On Saturday, Wolfsburg beat Eintracht Frankfurt 1-0 for a third consecutive time. Hamburg's Mergen Mavraj became the first player to be sent off in the Bundesliga this season during his side's 3-1 win over Cologne on Friday. One of those on the score sheet in that match was Hamburg's Bobby Wood, who was delighted to be back to his goal-scoring form.
It was a hard-fought game. I think we played about 100, felt like 120 minutes today, and I'm just happy that we fought as a team. I'm happy I got my goal, we won, and everything's good.
Staying with the Bundesliga, youthful Bayer Leverkusen winger Julian Brandt made his 100th Bundesliga appearance in his side's 2-2 draw against Hoffenheim on Saturday. Becoming the 10th youngest player ever to reach the landmark, Julian Brandt, at the age of 21 years, 3 months and 25 days, became the youngest Leverkusen player ever to reach the milestone. Kelvin Prince Boateng also made his 100th Bundesliga outing in his first match in Frankfurt's starting lineup. Back here in Africa, Nigeria claimed their third FIBA Women's Afrobasket title after beating Senegal 65-48 in the final of the 2017 FIBA Basketball Championship, which ended on Sunday night in Bamako, Mali. Evelyn Ahakto led the way with team highs of 13 points and 7 rebounds in the winning effort. Courtesy of qualifying for the final, both Nigeria and Senegal have qualified for the FIBA Women's Basketball World Cup 2018 in Spain. Sam Vincent is the Tigres head coach.
We really had 12 wonderful, hardworking women that were really committed to bringing the gold back to Nigeria. They showed a lot of confidence and a lot of poise.
Earlier in the day, Mali claimed the last spot on the podium after edging out Mozambique 75-52 in the third place game. In athletics, South Africa's Caster Semenya brought her glittering season to an end by smashing the world record in the Rally Run 600 meters. The 26-year-old Olympic gold medalist and 3-time world champion over 800 meters clocked a stunning 1 minute 21.77 seconds over the striking distance at the ISTAF meet in the German capital. She took 0.86 seconds off the previous best set by Cuba's Ana Fidelia Curiot in 1997. Semenya says she was delighted to end her season in the German capital where she won gold 8 years ago.
Samson Omale with that sports roundup.
Well, Abu, today Kenya has put into a ban on plastic bags, threatening violators with imprisonment of up to 4 years or fine of up to $38,000. Plastic bags may no longer be used, manufactured, or imported in an attempt to protect the environment.
That report has actually caused a lot of stir in Kenya, with so many people talking about the effect it would have on manufacturers and ordinary people. Rere here has a question saying, speaking of trash, what are the options for getting rid of diapers and menstrual pads? Those are disposed in plastic bags.
And there is an interesting one from Sisti. I don't know if it's she or he. And she's in Kenya.
The name is not familiar to me.
And she says, or he says, Kenya, as we rid the country of plastic bags this week, let us also get rid of plastic friends too.
You should know that name because you're Kenya.
No, I don't think this is a Sisti.
Anyways,
that's a fake name.
It could be an online name. Kinua says, I think the ban is filled with emotional statements and pleas instead of logic. Question is, where do we take the bags we already have? Edwin Bakanya says, now with this plastic ban effective today, shall we start seeing ladies in rain covering their hands with helmets or small basins?
When it rains.
Anyway, still on Kenya, now let's talk about let's get some more reactions here on the court ruling today granting NASA access to the IEBC servers.
Yes, indeed.
We have Stefan Onyanga who says, in this petition, NASA should also be required to show how their own tallying ended up giving Raila victory.
And we have Kunte Oka says, this case might be the end of electoral malpractices by state bodies charged with delivery of free, fair and transparent elections.
And we have Mwango Violet says, let the IEBC show the path they use, and that's what Kenyan citizens are interested in.
And Frank Dogo says, I have been sitting here all day waiting for the challenge of IEBC hackers. So disappointed. What happened to that?
That's a question. I don't think we have answer for that there. Yeah. We have Dr. Masibo Lumala who says, I see clear impartiality and independence from the Supreme Court this time around.
Absolutely.
Well, good one there. That's all we had time for. Thank you for all the responses. And if you have any more questions, leave it on our Facebook page, DWF Africa. My name is Abubakar Jalo.
Absolutely. And I'm Jen Nyinge. Bye for now.